You could have enjoyed all these things too. He never stopped him because he had a spirit. Look at how poor their spirit is in their relationship. There's a poverty of spirit. The Bible tells us in 3 John verse 2. In John's letter, he says, I desire that you prosper even as your soul prospers. So there is a prosperity of the soul which leads to the prosperity in the natural realm. So inner prosperity will lead to outward prosperity. And just as you can see in the prodigal son, when he had a poor spirit, you give him all his inheritance, he will still be led to poverty. Now for the older brother, it looks like he's like that. Now, let me tell you, if the father is not around, everyone around will not be blessed, you know? He's counting every cent. The younger brother come back. Okay, no parties for you. You have enjoyed all you want. And then they sit down for a meal. They have two peas and one egg. Why? We cannot spare the fatted cow. We are keeping it. For what? For one fine day, which never comes. That is the spirit of poverty. And though he owns a lot, no one, including himself, enjoys it. You do not want to be working for the elder brother, my friends. You want an employer, don't be employed by this kind of person. You know who I like to be employed by? That father here. What did the younger brother say about the father? Even his servants have plenty. You notice that? Compare him with the other servants of this other in the citizen in the other country, where he doesn't even have enough to eat. And he said the reason he came back was because his father was generous. He came back not intending to be a son anymore. He knew he has failed his father. He came back just wanting to be a servant. To take me back. I want to be a servant. That's all he wanted. And he remembered how generous his father was to the servants. So look at the father. Generosity of spirit. Now here's a very strange thing. What is your attitude to our Father God? Do you think he's able to give you and bless you with all that you want? The Bible tells us that he wants to bless you. He wants to bless us. But our perception of the Father is strange. Right now, if I were to ask all of you to close your eyes, and if I were to pass you a piece of paper, and I say, draw what the Father God is like to you. You and I collect all the drawings back, we will be surprised at how different our image of the Father is. And it is worse when we go to the mall, let's say go to Balkonan Mall, gather the first 100 people. Can you draw what God is like to you? You know what kind of drawings we will have? You will have some drawings of a big man upstairs with a big stick. And you have different drawings because every one of us perceive the Father differently. Unless we begin to see the Father as He is, we cannot be blessed by Him. So the first point is that our Father desires to give us true prosperity. See, when his younger son came back, his younger son began to learn what true prosperity is. It's that generosity of spirit. Generosity that blesses unconditionally. Everything that the younger son received when he came back is no longer what he deserved. But yet he gave him what he doesn't deserve. Unconditional love. And to the elder brother, the father has to teach him how to be generous. How to see beyond his little world, tiny little world. He has to see beyond into generosity. And this is the challenge on his first point. If you want the father to prosper you, something on your inside must change first. This is according to 3 John verse 2. So, if we desire God to prosper us, and we are not prepared, think about it logically. If we keep doing what we are doing and do not change for the next 5 years, do you think that there will be a change externally? Most probably not. There will be a slight improvement, but dramatic changes, not much. But if you want things to really change, obviously you have to change the inside first, dramatically. And then something will start changing on the outside. And if we don't change on the inside, we cannot change on the outside. Can I borrow both of you for a while? Can you come forward? Yes. Okay. And we have Kay, right? Kay is energetic and so is Virginia. She's a little fireball. Okay. And so let Kay represent. Let Virginia represent your inner self, your inner spirit, okay? And let K, can you stand here on this side, represent your soul, your outer man, alright? And everything that's external, that's internal, that's external. They're both inside you, right? Now, as you stand here, everything that she does, you do. Okay, so let's say if I move a hand forward, there you go. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, good. Just make sure it's working. Right. Now, whatever I do to you, you got to take her position. Okay, must follow her exactly. Okay, so she's the outer side. So if I try to change her, but I don't change the inside. You're supposed to be following her. No, you don't follow her. She follows you. Okay. So, your hand will go straight back. See? I can never change the outside unless I change the inside. So, no matter what I do to her, you're not following her. You're supposed to spring back to her.
Oh.
Thank you. Okay, now it's working. Okay. Let's check that our gear is working here. Right, okay. Okay, yeah, it's working very well. Oh, good, it's working. Alright, so, if I try to change the outside, you know, it will never work. No matter how hard I change, how many times I do it, right, it will never work. She's getting better at it, no? There's no resistance. Okay, there's no resistance. But that's what's happening sometimes. Some of us say, I would like to have more money. I'd like to be more prosperous. I'd like to be this. But we are not prepared to change the inside. We only want to change the outside. It's going to be like this story in our life. Unless something inside change, the outside will never change. So there's tremendous effort, you know. It's tremendous effort to keep on trying to change, you know. And can you imagine, for the next 10 years in your life, you're struggling with this lady here. Right, so you might as well enter the wrestling contest, right? She's strong, I mean, there you go. Okay. So, you do your best to change, and you can't. And some of us have failed many, many times. Why don't we change? Why don't change? Because change involves the inside. So, when the inside changes, and you start seeing changing, and you say, hey, it changes. Now, in this particular case, it looks instant, right? And let me tell you, in your life, there may be a time gap between internal change and external change. But I can guarantee you, there will be changes. Wow! Some things are moving on their own. That must be the Holy Ghost, right? Thank you, Virginia. Thank you. To Jesus, a clap offering for them. Now, the changes on our inside are the more important. Sometimes there's a time gap, but I guarantee you, it will change. The outside. Provided you're prepared to change on your inside. This principle applies to everything. If you're praying for your family to change, guess what? You change on your inside. The outside will change. There may be a time gap, but it will change. You're praying for your own life, your work, and or your spirit life, your ministry life to change. Let's say you want to launch into something. If you don't change on the inside, nothing is going to change outside. There's always a cause to internal change. I mean, just like only about when was it? Thursday. We used to spend time praying, and here since we came, we done overnight prayer. We done all kinds of prayer, and then the Lord told us about how many. That is by now nearly about 30. Probably about 30 weeks ago, and says, pray every morning here. So we changed. We started praying every morning. And then we increased that to an hour every morning. It takes effort to come all the way. It's easier just stay at home and pray, but the Lord says, come and pray here. So started praying with Peter, since he's also involved in the project here. And when we started praying, we find things started moving. As I say, unless there is a change that involves your internal side, there'll be no change on the external. However, you don't just simply try to change your inside. You got to ask the Lord to help you. And as long as you understand this principle, for external things to change, there must be some changes internally. And so you come to God and say, God, what are the things you want me to change? Is there anything more? That anything different that I'm supposed to do that I have been doing for the past 10 years? And then you wait for Him. Sometimes it takes about several weeks before He answers. But He does answer when you talk to Him. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You wait on Him, He speaks. And only on the last Thursday, we have been doing that for some time. The last Thursday, the Lord began to speak to me and says, it's time for more changes on the inside. I say, what is it, Lord? And I enjoy spending time in the stretching. God says, because you're going to move in Daniel's anointing, as well as Joseph's anointing, I want you to do what Daniel did. I said, what did Daniel do? He's praying down all the day. I said, yes. But the Lord says, I want you to pray 3 times a day. I said, that's not going to be easy, Lord, because I'm also working professionally like some of you. But, you know, the Lord says that. So I said, so from Thursday onward, I started obeying Him. So I kept aside 3 times a day to pray. I just started last Thursday. But I know, as I keep doing it, within the next weeks or months, something externally is going to explode. So, I'm sharing with you what I know to be real. Now, there have been many, many other changes that we have adopted through those years. But we find that God keeps changing you on the inside. And unless you're prepared to change on your inside and let God change you and flow on the inside, there will be no external changes outside. But that's what true prosperity is. And so the father tried to change the younger son and the older son. The second point, which is a shorter one. Our Heavenly Father, the first point is our Heavenly Father is interested in our prosperity, our true prosperity. And so you see how He ministered to the son and both sons. Second point is our Heavenly Father is interested in how you feel. So He's interested in my feelings, yes. I do not believe that any Christian should be without the peace and the joy of the Lord. Not after what Jesus has done. But the world has too many sad Christians, too many defeated Christians. And think about it, Jesus says that this is my joy that I gave unto you. And yet, we ask, where's the joy in some Christians? And Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gave, do I give to you. So there's peace, there's joy, there's love. And He is interested when you are like the older brother. And notice, what is this older brother? He's experiencing in verse 28, anger. And look at verse 28, the father came and pleaded with him. The father understands what he's feeling and came to turn him around. Our father is interested when you're lonely, when you're sad, when you're down. He is interested in how you feel. Sometimes we think God is just a God of faith. He is indeed. But He's a God who's interested in what we are actually feeling day by day. And if you will open your heart up to God, No matter whether you're angry, you're sad, you're down, you're depressed, you're distressed,